The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Welcome into the Brad Sessmatt Show. I'm Jordan Hamm, filling in for the big guy. Happy anniversary to him and the missus, the one that really keeps us all going here over at Sports 360 AZ. I'm going to bring in my incomparable producer, Eric Sorensen. We also have Jared Nielsen making sure that we're getting on loud and clear as well. Eric, how you doing?
Doing well, Jordan. Doing well. It's somewhat of a return to normalcy. I've been out to a couple spring football practices. Can we call it spring since we're almost to mid-June? But I'm sure you and I will talk about that later. But it's good to see you.
Good to see you as well. Our rundown brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. And on that topic, Eric, you know what? I've seen what you've been to Pinnacle, you've been to Horizon, a couple different campuses. Just how different has it been aside from spring ball in June? How have they been, you know, adjusting the way they're working out in this COVID-19 world?
Extremely different. I swung by Pinnacle last night, as you mentioned, and it's going in phases. So right now we're in phase one, and next week, as Dana Zupke said, they're hoping to graduate to phase two in the Paradise Valley School District. So phase one, essentially the long and the short of it is they can only have 10 players in either a position set or in a room together or in the weight room together. So you can imagine Pinnacle at all the levels probably has 100 and some odd kids. And mm-hmm. So they have been doing four different workouts, two in the morning, two in the evening. And they basically have everyone split off. So I watched some of the offensive line work on the field yesterday, and then I walked over into one of their side weight rooms, and there was another group lifting weights. And then in another room completely on the other side of the campus, there was another set of 10 players, like, watching film or doing something. And then on the practice fields, there were players stretching. So it's not the traditional everyone on one field working through drills. It's been different. This morning at Horizon, they had the linemen carrying the medicine balls. And after every single rep, Arabin Justin, who you know very well, the defensive coordinator over there, sprayed down each medicine ball with disinfectant. And instead of having a minute or two in between reps, they're taking 6 or 7 minutes between reps so they can sanitize all the equipment that's been used. It's just, you know, we heard about this happening, and just to see it in person, it's just the new normal, I guess.
Yeah, and I saw earlier today Hamilton High School getting going, and their quarterbacks can only throw to nets right now. They can't even throw to receiver. They have their own football. All of them are marked, numbered. Quarterback number one has number one. They're throwing in the net, and that's it. So, yeah, a lot of adjustments here, but obviously a lot to get to here. Today we have a fresh Brad Sessmatt's Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona here. First airing will be later today and throughout the week. We're going to catch up with Ty Thompson and Jonah Miller on that episode and in this show. Ty Thompson, Jonah Miller, two of Oregon's commits from the state of Arizona, four guys in the top 10 headed to Oregon in this class. And we talked about that, and then we also talked about what's going on in the country right now. In terms of race, and you know, they shared their thoughts on the death of George Floyd, and you know, who they're looking to, how they're trying to lead, and how you know, this time of change, you know, what positives could come out of it. So it was an different conversation than I think I've had with two high school athletes, but they shared some really thoughtful insight. I was just, you know, obviously I've gotten to know them over the past couple of years. I've always been impressed by them. But just that level of maturity and that perspective that they shared, it was really enlightening. And, I walked away, you know, very impressed with them, and just, you know, kind of almost feeling better about the world and the next generation and that sort of thing. So, you're going to hear from them here at 10:20. Some other news going on. Coyotes introduced Xavier Gutierrez as president and CEO. I think that the other news with this is the Coyotes have been talking about a stadium in the works potentially. But some of the news that came out of that was that due to COVID-19, they've been pushed back. Any sort of plans have been pushed back 6 to 9 months, and they're hopeful for the end of the year to make that adjustment.
It's interesting, Jordan, because we here in Arizona are seeing, I saw on Twitter, I think it was this morning, like cases are up 240%. So Governor Ducey reopens things, people go out and go back to living their normal life, and you see the COVID numbers start to peak, hopefully peak. And I was at two restaurants over the weekend, and it amazes me how different they approached it. One restaurant, everyone wearing masks, servers wearing gloves. The next restaurant, maybe one or two servers wearing masks and no gloves and no social distancing. So there's a lot of inconsistencies, and that is probably the reason that the numbers are starting to rise again. And I'm just wondering if later this summer or early next fall, we're going to return to March, where we're going to be in a complete lockdown, because I don't want to say we've been irresponsible, but the numbers don't lie when it comes to the COVID numbers here in Arizona. So,
yeah, and it hasn't just been Arizona. Quite a few states have, you know, it's almost been a tale of two pandemics.
Sure.
You see New York really leveling off. New Zealand, the entire country, you know, is pretty much ready to completely reopen because they've pretty much eradicated it, it seems like. And then you have other areas in the United States especially really starting to explode. And that's you bring that up. I had a similar experience a couple weeks ago. We haven't quite done the in-person restaurant yet. It's still doing takeout, but we were picking up a pizza from Venezia's, and they had, yes, full disclosure, they are a partner, but I was also very impressed with the way they were handling things. Everybody was masked up. Everybody was gloved up. They had, you know, one table that you could sit at and about three that you couldn't. And, you know, if you were doing a pickup order or a, you know, the different types of orders, that meant you went through a completely different door. And then, you know, I hop in my car, start heading down in a few restaurants in that area. Patio is packed. And it is, you know, it's like that that bar photo from a few weeks ago in Tempe, where it's just like,
oh, yeah,
yeah, there is there is this much space in between people. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see as we kind of progress through the summer.
It's a tough deal, Jordan. Let me jump in here real quick because, you know, as you know, it's a virus. So you can be the most careful person in the world and you can still get the virus. It just takes one little slip up, like you hitting a door handle or you touching your nose or whatever. But I think it's in the best interest of our entire state, as we've talked about. This is not breaking news. Just to be respectful of the people around you and try to social distance. It's really not that difficult.
Right, right. One piece of news that I found interesting coming out this morning, UFC, they're one of the few leagues that have gotten off the ground and had multiple events and, for the most part, successful events. Yes, there have been a couple of positive tests, but those have seemed to be isolated incidents, and that was the, you know, the first weekend and no real ramifications that we've seen so far. But they are coming out with UFC Fight Island. It's going to be in Abu Dhabi. And doesn't this sound like out of a science fiction movie where, you know, the world's best fighters are going to an island and they're setting it up essentially for those who are having trouble getting to the United States or getting through other parts of the world because of COVID-19. But they're setting it up. Abu Dhabi, an island that they've used in the past, a training octagon on the beach. But again, this just sounds straight out of like a B-list action science fiction movie.
If anyone can pull this off, Dana White is certainly one that can do something like this. And I watched a little bit. I've been watching a little bit over the past couple weekends, and it's been fine. I mean, it's not, I've almost become used to not seeing like people in the stands because ESPN has run a lot of these old UFC fights where they're in Vegas and it's packed and they're at this, you know, they've got 25,000 people in the arena. But the way ESPN has shot these UFC fights, they still have the fighters come out of the dressing room and walk down, you know, they still play the music, and Bruce Buffer is still, you know, the ring announcer, and a lot of it's the same. I just wonder, Jordan, when we get to football season, how odd it's going to be if there's only 15,000 people in the stands, or if they're going to pump in crowd noise. Maybe we will get adjusted to that, as I got adjusted to the UFC, but I guess in football it's just a completely different deal.
And I've actually heard some people say when watching these fights that it's almost a better viewing experience because you can hear kind of the nuances of the coaches yelling out commands to their fighters, or, you know, the actual hits happening that can get drowned out with a big crowd. And yes, the energy can certainly be there, but a new normal. And we've seen a couple of Arizona guys the past few weeks, Sugar Sean O'Malley, who I don't know if you've seen him, but he has like his hair, it's like cornrows, but it's rainbow. Like, it looks like he just, all he does is eat Skittles. And and then Henry Cejudo also, both of them making noise as well. So,
but it's good. It's good for the UFC because they're taking advantage of no live sports outside of NASCAR and UFC. So people, this is the time of year where they want to scratch the itch, and UFC is providing that. So good for them.
Yes, and we're gonna talk about a league here in a little bit that is not able to do that, and that's Major League Baseball. That'll be at 10:35. But first, we're gonna have Ty Thompson, Jonah Miller. They're gonna talk about being Oregon Duck commits and also give their take on what's been going on with social reform and protests as well. A really insightful conversation that's coming up next on the Brad Sesmatt Show. Welcome into the Venezia's Pizzeria recruiting roundup, and we have two special guests coming back with us. We have Ty Thompson, Mesquite quarterback, and Jonah Miller, offensive lineman for Tucson Saguaro. Both of them Oregon commits. You guys are two of the four Arizona Oregon commits, also Bram Walden and Brandon Buckner. And Ty, I'll start things off with you. You were the first to commit back in March, and as the past months have kind of progressed, the class from Arizona to Eugene has grown and grown. Did you anticipate seeing four of the top players in Arizona heading to Eugene when you made your commitment?
There's a few kids that I kind of had a good idea were pretty high in Oregon, but there's also a few kids that, you know, I was a little bit surprised. So I'm very happy with how it's all turned out, though, for sure.
What do you think the common thread between these four Arizona guys, what are they going to bring to Eugene? Jonah, we'll start with you.
I definitely think we bring a different, you know, like newer type of like mentality to the game. I think a lot of us are a lot smarter in the game. We're a lot more learned in the football, like, kind of dialect and just how the game's played. I think we're a lot smarter. I definitely think we have an edge in the sense that we're used to that heat, so we kind of got that, you know, that little bit more of endurance. We bring a new kind of vibe to Eugene. I'm really excited that, you know, a lot of us are going.
Ty, what do you think?
Yeah, for sure. I think we bring, like you said, a different age, different mentality, but also a different work ethic. People from Arizona, I know Bram and Jonah and Brandon are all super hard workers and, grinded to get to where they're at. So, we're all definitely going to bring some hard work to Eugene.
What role, how did it change the timeline with what was going on with the coronavirus? And, you know, I know, especially as things kind of progressed and travel was put on hold more and more, how much did that impact both of your timelines in making that commitment to Oregon?
What definitely was crazy for me was that I was originally trying to commit around, you know, end of July, mid-July. And then, you know, I learned that there was probably going to be not a lot of official visits going to be happening. And I was like, you know, I think I'm just going to choose wherever I feel is best. And I knew that decision was Oregon. And I was like, why am I going to delay when I can just, you know, get it over with, you know, when I definitely know I wanted to go to Oregon, you know?
Yeah, my decision was kind of sped up a little bit too. I planned on taking my officials and all that stuff. But the day I left Oregon, I knew I wanted to commit to Oregon. So there was no other school that I wanted to visit. And I felt like I was home. So I was ready, like, I was at like March 13th or something like that, and then committed like a few days later. So it kind of sped things up, but I mean, I was ready anyway, so.
Yeah.
The four of you guys have committed or have achieved so much on the high school field. What are your expectations for the four of you together in the Pac-12 and in college football over the next couple of years? Ty, we'll start with you.
Most definitely, at least a Pac-12 championship in Rose Bowl, hopefully a national championship. You know, getting the college football playoff, you know, unlocks the top four. So that's the goals for us, you know, being the, one of the best programs in the nation, if not the best program in the nation, because, you know, we have everything that it takes. Just got to get over the hump. So, and Oregon was really close to doing that this year, and I feel like we can do it the next few years while we get there.
Well, I mean, you know, 100%, just like Ty said, I mean, when you go to a school like Oregon, the expectation is the highest expectation, you know? And I think what we're bringing to the table is definitely a national championship team or a playoff team in the near future. And I think that's obvious to everyone in the college football world, definitely.
Talking to Ty Thompson, Mesquite quarterback, Jonah Miller, offensive lineman at Tucson Saguaro, both of them Oregon commits. And guys, let's shift gears here. And the topic of systemic racism has kind of been on the front of everyone's mind recently, especially after George Floyd's death. Just what emotions have you guys felt the past couple of weeks as you know, you continue to see just what's been going on in the country? Jonah, let's start with you.
You know, well, the first thought, you know, comes to mind is just like kind of like a pain in your heart, you know, seeing someone, you know, lose their life to someone that they thought they could be protected from, you know, and for how long it happened, you know, it, like all the factors that went into what happened is just awful. And the sad part is that this is not the first time, and it probably won't be the last time. It just feels it makes me feel really bad to, you know, live in a country where there's a possibility that I, you know, I or Ty or anyone could really just be, you know, kind of, you know, abused by someone who's supposed to protect us.
Ty?
Yeah, I for sure agree with that. It's a little bit scary living in a country, you know, where you kind of have to think twice about what you're doing, what you're saying to law enforcement and stuff like that. I feel like the oppression of the Black community has gone on for far too long. You know, Martin Luther King stood for what he believed and he got killed. So, and here we are today still fighting for the same thing. So people are still dying. And, but, you know, I feel like we're taking steps. We're having peaceful protests and stuff, even out here in the Valley. So I was super proud of, you know, what the communities are doing to get on the right track and all this stuff.
What conversations have you guys had within your teams, within your families about what's been going on the past couple of months?
Well, you know, immediately I texted in our group chat and I said, you know, you guys got to stay safe, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think what, you know, young, you know, Black males have to take away from this, or you know, just anyone in general who's a person of color, is that, you know, not everyone's perfect. Like, yeah, there's a lot of racism still. This isn't, you know, like something that's going to pass in like 3 or 2 weeks. This is going to take a long time to get over. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to have to be put in place to get, you know, over this hump and like get people to understand that, you know, Black lives matter. It's not like a trend or like a hashtag. It's literally like Black lives, they matter. Like we're all in this together, obviously, you know, and that's what everyone's got to take away from this, I think.
Time. Yeah, the conversations that I've been had growing up a little bit in my house has been make sure you're respecting everybody, no matter who they are, if they're police officers, if they're, you know, business owners, if they're just friends of family or whatever. There's no time or place that is, you know, acceptable to be disrespectful. And that's, you know, this time, you know, is extra. You know, it's on 10 right now with the police officers and stuff like that. So if you get pulled over, you know, there's certain protocol you have to do to make sure you're staying safe. And, you know, if you're at the protests and stuff, make sure you're being peaceful. And if, you know, people start making bad decisions and stuff, make sure you're either telling them to, you know, chill out. There's more important things than that. It's not the goal right now, or you're getting out of there. So you're not a part of the mess. So it's just really just all about respect. Respecting law enforcement, respecting, you know, everybody, because at the end of the day, that's all we're asking for from everyone else too. So
you're both leaders on campus in the community, but who have you looked to in these past couple of weeks for guidance, for reassurance, for clarity? Ty, let's start with you.
You know, I was actually really, really proud and really excited to see that our head coach at Oregon, Coach Cristobal, took action. You know, he was one of the first people in the college sports world and sports world in general, just to make a statement. And then, like, the next few days, he was out of Black Lives Matter protest in Eugene, Oregon. So, you know, he's been really obviously someone that I look up to in that sense. He's practicing what he preaches, obviously, everything that he says he lives by. And he's a really, you know, family-orientated man, and he believes in all the equality and all that stuff. So he's definitely somebody that I look up to. Obviously, my dad and my family, people that I look up to as far as equality and making sure everyone's being treated equal. So, yes, sir.
Coach Cristobal, it's like, you know, you see all these people, you know, show up at protests, and then you see your head coach, and it's like, oh, that's amazing. Like, you got like a warm feeling in your heart, because you, like, you know, you got a good leader, you know. And I was already confident that Coach Cristobal was the best leader in college football, and he's definitely the best, you know, just person, I think, that I could have got for a head coach. And it was just so great to see him out there, because, you know, he's putting himself at danger, obviously. And he's going out there and he's letting people know, like, you know, his platform is so big. It definitely spreads that message so much wider by him going out there rather than him not. And that's just, you know, you can't thank him enough, because, you know, with all this going on, we need everyone we can, right? You know?
Coach Cristobal mentioned in his social media that he wanted to make sure that he was using his platform to cause a positive change. Obviously, it has made an impact on you guys already, just, you know, one or two weekends in with that. But there's been a lot of pain, a lot of confusion the past couple of weeks. But what positives, what sort of changes could you see coming out of this that could make our society better?
I'd say they're reopening a bunch of cases and stuff like that. You know, discrimination against people has, I feel like, gone down, because it's more, you know, broadly known across the country. So all the reopened cases and stuff like that, just because it's very popular right now, and the government and you know, the judicial system feels like it's necessary to give justice to, you know, where justice is due. So very happy that justice is being given.
I definitely think one of the main improvements definitely is just like that we'll have in the future is just like the sense of like how we walk down the street, you know, like you know, we'll have like a normal family, not, you know, pulling their kids away from some dude walking down the street because his skin's brown, right? You know, I've seen that happen to me. Maybe it's happened to Ty, you know, like it's like those everyday things that might disappear because people are more comfortable to just, you know, be themselves around others, you know. Might have to worry about, you know, this, you know, racial profiling that, you know, my mom has went through, my grandparents went through, like, you know, it's just a lot of people went through, almost everyone. And it's like, I hope in the future that we can really get away from that, and we can really, really treat everyone like, you know, normal people, because we all have red blood flowing through our veins. So
welcome back to the Brad Sesmat Show. Jordan Hamm, Eric Sorensen here. Special thanks to Ty Thompson and Jonah Miller for sitting down, talking the Ducks, and also, you know, some other things off the field as well. Wanted to shift gears now, Eric. We talked about in segment one, the UFC getting going, other leagues getting going. The MLB just continues to trip all over itself, It seems as the negotiations go longer, the offers get worse, the separation becomes wider. And this is one thing that Jeff Passan tweeted and shared on the broadcast this morning of GetUp. And he said a month ago that MLB considered making a proposal with a 50-50 revenue split, which it doesn't happen in baseball, but players would get half, team and league would get half. But they said that the players would never, ever accept that. Yesterday, MLB made a proposal that the max player salaries would be $1.432 $1 billion. If we went the 50-50 route, MLB's projected revenue for 2020 is $2.87 billion, aka 50-50. So the point he was getting was, we've spent a month going roundabouts in these negotiations and essentially haven't gotten anywhere.
Yeah, a month or 2 months or 3 months. I mean, Pedro Gomez, he's going to join you tomorrow. He came on with Brad back in, I want to say, early to mid-April, and basically told Brad, there's about a 25 to 30% chance we'll see any baseball at all in 2020. And a lot of people are like, what? But they're so close. And as you mentioned, Jordan, the longer this, you know, we're in the middle of June. So look at the calendar. You know, the longer this, it was, and the funny thing to me is there's so, the projection for the number of games that are going to be hopefully played are all over the roadmap. You had over 100, then you had in the 70s. And I think the last one was like a 39 game season.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine being like the Detroit Tigers, one of, if not the worst teams in baseball. If you're playing a 39 game season and you get off to a, I don't know, 13-4 start, you've got a chance to actually win the division. It's crazy. It would open everything up. But it's depressing because this is a time where we should be watching baseball. And I don't know, you're the seam head on this staff. I just don't know if they're going to be able to get this thing straightened out.
Yeah, it feels like one of those deals, and I'll even liken it to like a fantasy baseball trade where like it's rather than, okay, I'll do, I don't want to give up a sixth round pick, but I'll give up a seven and a nine, but okay, no, a eight and a four. And they're just splitting hairs here. Like really in the grand scheme of things, I think the point of Passan's negotiations is things like the actual dollars and cents of it all haven't changed that much, but it's just they want to, you know, the players want more games, or you know the owners want more control of this or an expanded playoff over the couple of years, and it's getting so nitty gritty that it's just so hard for really the common fan to keep track exactly of what's going on. And yeah, this was a real opportunity for them to get out ahead of it. It would be, like we said, them and pretty much the UFC, where it would just be that would be the return to glory for the US on a sports front. You have baseball coming back, eventually the NBA, NFL seems to be according to plan now, you have hockey, you have the NBA, and these are, you know, the struggling sport over the past couple of years, and I hate to say that as a baseball fan, but the league that hasn't been as relevant over recent years is now the one that looks nowhere close to having their sport return.
And we talked about it, I believe it was last week on the stream show. The NBA is considering just moving their entire schedule to take over the sweet spot that is the baseball season. You know, once the NBA finals end, it's like early June. Basically, the MLB is under the spotlight for June and July and just that first part of August until the NFL and all the college things start to kick back in. And the NBA is like, you know what? Why are we competing? Why are we starting our season around Halloween in the heart of the World Series, in the heart of, you know, college football, the NFL? We can just shift our schedule. And then, you know what, baseball, you can just figure out what you're going to do. And we're just going to be the neighbors that just come in and, take away your Mountain View and rebuild our house, make it a two-story house. You can figure out what you want to do with what you're doing over there. So,
right. Yeah, the NBA, 95, if they were to start in December on Christmas Day, let's say.
Makes total sense.
Yeah, 95% of the college football season's over.
Yep.
You have a month left of the NFL, and then it's exhibition baseball that they have to compete against. And yeah, that makes perfect sense. And what did we say back in March when all this started? Now is the time for leagues to get creative. Now is the time for things to be put in a vacuum and try it out and say, okay, can we expand this to most of these other leagues have been able to do that. The NBA has done a really good job. The NHL seemingly has done a good job.
Sure.
You hear the NFL coaches and going through the draft process of saying like how much we can adjust on the fly now. Having a fully remote NFL draft where it's we're going to take stuff that we learned from this and use it towards future drafts. And Cliff Kingsbury yesterday said, yeah, we had a chance to get some coaches in, but we didn't feel the need. We liked the way we were doing things remotely. I feel like we're not getting that sense at all from, MLB. And, talking to Torrey Lovello and things like that, you can just kind of see it in his eyes when people ask about the state of the game. He's the eternal optimist. He's going to say that. But in his eyes, you can just tell just like, please, we just want to get this back.
And they have to be completely frustrated by the fact that they can't get this figured out. And another thing that I think is that should be noted, Jordan, is, remember the pie in the sky dream of starting the season on July 4th this year? Well, that's obviously not going to happen.
Yeah.
And what people forget is that you're going to need a runway to start this season. You can't just say, okay, cool, we've come to an agreement and in 2 weeks we're going to play baseball. No. It's going to take... They're going to need the spring training, and these players have been doing God knows what since early March. Right. So, what do you think the runway is? 6 weeks? 5 weeks? 7 weeks?
I think it has to be anywhere at a minimum 4 weeks, but probably more realistically 6 weeks, because that's what spring training is. And all right. of these guys, athletes are creatures of habit, and they have through the throughout the year. Most MLB players know, like, my body can get rest in December. My body can, kind of start to ramp back up in January. Now that's gone. Right now they're supposed to be in full-fledged performance mode right now. But now, so that's going to be a complete shock to the system. And, to rush it back, as contentious as these negotiations be, if someone goes down with an injury, do they sue the league and say that they got them back too quickly? Who knows the type of issues that could pop up, even if they do get back to the field. And that's a big if right now.
And I think, to your point, I think these players need to almost condition their bodies differently, because baseball is such a grind. I mean, it's a long season. You're playing a lot of games. There's a ton of travel. And now all of a sudden they're going to kind of like force feed you into this fast food 39, 56, whatever game schedule. It like you said, these players are used to everything being a routine, pitchers and catchers around Valentine's Day, they report, and then a couple days later, the full squads are there, and then you go through a month or 5 weeks of spring training, and then then end of the season. Now everyone's schedule's backwards. And it is sad, because I wonder if the other sports kind of just like look at Major League Baseball and just kind of shake their head, like, why can you guys not figure this out?
Yeah, it seems just continuing to trip over themselves. But as you said, tomorrow we'll have Pedro Gomez talking about the latest with the negotiations, but also the MLB draft is happening tomorrow, and plenty of ASU players. Also, Carson Tucker, who's over at Mountain Point High School, slated to be a high draft pick. Cole Tucker's younger brother. So a lot of different angles to explore with Pedro. Coming up next, ESPN redrafted the entire NFL, and I want to share some of those players and picks with Eric and what that means for the state of the Arizona Cardinals. That's coming up next on the Brad Sessmatt Show. Welcome back to the Brad Sessmatt Show. I'm Jordan Hamm alongside Eric Sorensen. And E, as we wrap up today's show, I saw something on ESPN, a pretty interesting concept. Pretty much ESPN took all the players in the NFL and just redrafted the league. Top 128 players.
Nice. Now, I love this topic, Jordan, because Brad would never do it. So thank you. Brad hates doing stuff like this. I love it. So let's knock this out.
And it's not exactly, okay, here's who the Cardinals took at pick number 8. But one, the observation I made and wanted to get your thoughts on. Arizona Cardinals had two players picked in the first round. Kyler Murray at 17 and DeAndre Hopkins at pick number 26, ironically by the Houston Texans. If I were to tell you at the end of the 2018 season that if there was a concept where they redrafted the entire league and not one but two Arizona Cardinals would be taken in the first round, what would you have told me?
Coming off of that season?
That 2018 season and just a season, essentially a season plus from there. Like, that just speaks, I think, to how quickly this turnaround has occurred.
Oh, man, I can't even think. Can't even think who they'd be. So enlighten me.
What I'm just saying is how bad that team was to all of a sudden now you have two of the top 32, Chandler Jones also in the top 50.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And just how quickly the NFL can turn things around. You know, a franchise can turn things around. Yes, the team went roughly 500 this past year. Obviously, there are expectations here. But just the fact that there are discussions and players are getting taken that highly or, you know, ranked that highly. All of a sudden, this is a completely different thing than what we've seen the past couple of years for the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, Kyler Murray certainly looked the part his rookie year. And I think the one thing that impressed me most about him, besides his savvy and his leadership and his even-keeled demeanor, just doesn't turn the ball over, which is unheard of for rookie quarterbacks in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He didn't turn the ball over. And then through an act of luck, good timing, whatever, DeAndre Hopkins just happens to land in Arizona. You know, like, he's not even in his prime yet, and he's arguably the best receiver in the NFL. And considering what the Cardinals gave away to get him, I'm still stunned. Like, I'm still stunned that this all took place, because I'm sure you remember, Jordan, like, when the first, like, that trade came out in chunks. So the first chunk of that trade was, okay, David Johnson's been traded. Okay, cool. So David Johnson gets traded to the Texans. Okay. Okay, they're going to give away a pick, and they're going to get back a late-round pick. Okay, well, this you can kind of see this is a good salary dump for the Cardinals. Sounds like the Texans are going to take on a bunch of that money. Cool. And then the whispers got out about, oh, there's a player involved. Oh, okay, that's cool. The Cardinals are going to get back a player, maybe, like, you know, a good depth guy or something. And then, you know, it's like, I'm hearing the name DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona. And then all of a sudden it became official, and it was just like, what just happened?
Well, it was DeAndre Hopkins, and that was big enough. And then it was David Johnson and a second-round pick, not a first-round pick.
Correct.
Like, that was the thing that really kind of fully knocked me over was that. And then, I mean, even if the most optimistic Cardinal fan, if you told them at the beginning of the offseason, hey, you're going to get Isaiah Simmons with the 8th overall pick, who was slated to be a top 3 or 4 pick, hey, you're going to get one of the best wide receivers in football, and you're going to get rid of David Johnson, and also Josh Jones is going to be available at pick number 72, who could be a potential, you know, franchise-starting offensive tackle. Like, even they would say, like, what are you? No, like, this, we're in reality. What are you talking about? So
the Cardinals gave up that second-round pick. But that guy's value that you just mentioned is second-round pick value. So essentially, they got a second or even late first-round value in the third round. And I don't think the Cardinals are going to go 13-3 this year simply because the division's just really good.
Sure.
But it's nice, you know, last year coming off of that 2018 season where everything was so low, and then they bring in Kyler Murray, and there's just optimism. I mean, I think Cliff Kingsbury knows what he's doing. Like, I'm not completely sold on it, but I think he knows what he's doing. And so this year, if you get to 500, you get to 9-7, maybe you sneak in the playoffs. I just want that nice gradual improvement. But like you said, I mean, in the NFL, things can change quickly for good or bad.
Yeah. And with Josh Jones, according to PFF, yes, they aren't. I don't take their word as Bible, but they certainly hit on way more than they miss. They had Josh Jones number 14 in the draft.
Crazy.
Rankings.
And those people put in the legwork. They are a super reliable source when it comes to that kind of stuff. Really digging inside the numbers. So
yes. So hopefully we can see more and more sports come back, more and more sports come back safely, and that includes the NFL and hopefully MLB, although I'm not going to be holding my breath on that. E, thanks for sitting down and chatting. Special thanks to Jared Nielsen and Ty Thompson and Jonah Miller. This is the Brad Sesmat Show, and we'll see you tomorrow.